Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request!
Alright, this bastard is on my... Okay, GTFO, bitch.
Alright, everybody. Here it comes. Sit back and enjoy the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast, a podcast where we get to talk to content creators and homies and people that we've never met before, and they get to tell their story. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you guys and gals for taking the time to listen to this podcast, whatever platform you listen to it on, giving us a follow and a good 5-star ratings, because you guys are beautiful motherfuckers. My name is Bobby, or Junkhead, whatever you want to call me. And as usual, I have my partner in crime, the Beast from Bruges, my homie Joachim Blaze. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. The intro, can't get enough from it, man. The Beast from Bruges. I feel like I need to go to the gym from now on to actually become a beast, you know?
You need to get yoked, man. You need to get yoked.
Well, I'm already getting my, proteins in there with all the milk I drink every day, you know?
Oh, my God. Here we go. Milk. Hashtag
milk boy. Anyways. We got another awesome guest for our podcast. I'm gonna give it a try because you're the best at intros. But I'm gonna give it.
Yeah, I need for you to get your game better. I need you to type.
His mom calls him Ryan when she's mad. His family calls him Monk, but you can say Merc or whatever. But I know him as Daisy. Daisy. He's 23 years old, is a US air vet, yeah, and he's a streamer on Twitch. And everything else you ask him is classified. Let's go.
Look at you. You're doing good. Daisy, welcome to the show, brother, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
I love the enthusiasm. You should have thrown the creator of the Skullet.
The Skullet? What's the Skullet?
Wow.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
My man.
Oh! I got it. The skullet. Skull. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, the hairstyle.
Yeah,
I got it.
Yeah.
He didn't choose the skullet lifestyle. The skullet lifestyle chose him.
Facts. Genetics just did not let me make a choice, really. So I just decided to have fun with it and roll with it, man.
I do like the cap you're always wearing and the mullet popping out, you know? Just saying.
What was it?
If I was a lady, I would want to touch it.
Well, I'm saying I'm single, bro. Like, I have to keep the cap on. I can't scare him away yet. Once I'm talking to him and I wow him with my charm, my personality, it's game over. They don't care what's underneath the hat at that point. So
I just thought it was funny.
That's how I did it with my girlfriend, you know. It's not my ugly looks, it's the rest that did it.
Oh. If it was 100%. He was streaming the other day, and I was in there. I was talking to you, and you're like, "Holy shit, my hair looks like I'm a fucking witch, man!" And I was like, "Oh my god!" I mean, that's what you guys. Yeah. You guys are gonna hear
it's
the story
like
of good old Daisy. And you guys that don't know him, you're gonna know him after this podcast. Is really what you see is what you get. There's no fucking gray area. He's been there, done that. Me and him, we have that bond because we were both Air Force veterans, and. So, but if you guys are easily offended with some shit, you probably want to keep listening because it's going to make you fucking harder. You're going to get fucking tough real quick.
How many Twitter accounts have you had banned already?
just the one, luckily. Luckily, just the one. But I've had the one banned twice. So, the first time was my fault. It was only a couple days, but the second time is a permanent ban. Which actually was like falsely banned. Like, it's what they banned me for in what I said and what the full sentence said was the exact opposite of what I was actually banned for. So we can talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, but we'll get
you
to
know
that.
You're one of these guys, and that's what I want to say. Sometimes you see people who have an outspoken opinion, and I'm like, I kind of want to say that shit also, but I'm a bit of a pussy, you know. I'm a bit scared shit because I still, you know, I have certain opinions, and sometimes I'm just like, maybe it's my age also. I'm like, I don't want to get all the shit going.
Just yeah, keep it getting to myself. Tired of arguing and
I'll say it to my girlfriend what I think, you know.
No, he doesn't. He fucking sends it to me, and he's like,
oh, "Well, God, you're my girlfriend, Bobby.
I'm so fucking mad. Poop dooby doo, poopy poopy, you know." But enough about the little semantics and stuff. I want to say thank you for coming on and doing this podcast, DayZ. It's an honor. It's a pleasure. And everyone's wanting to know. Tell us your story. We're gonna sit back. We're gonna crack
who's
open.
Who's the person?
We're gonna crack open.
Oh man! All right. Well, this is a roller coaster. I'm a little bit different. Because growing up, I didn't have video games much or accessibility to them. I was wrestling. Got a cowboy family. All my family's from Southern Oregon. My family has 42 acres, over 500 head of cattle in Southern Oregon. And we played sports, baseball, football, wrestled. So my world was more revolved around physical. My dad was pretty headstrong. Really like work hard and you get what you want. Don't ask for, you know, anything from anyone because the real world's tough. And he was ingrained that in us early. So my first video game I played was Rayman on PlayStation 1. And I was stuck on a level for probably a year and a half, I think. Like one part of the game that I could never beat. So I very rarely played. It wasn't until the PlayStation 2 came out and me and my brother got that. And I got a SpongeBob game. And I beat that game. And kind of dabbled into Call of Duty and stuff. But again, I wasn't really hooked on anything. Played a lot of Grand Theft Auto 3, and then my first PC game was Lego Chess and a game called Deer Hunter, where you were actually a deer with a rifle and you hunted the hunters instead. So
I'm sorry.
And it was fun, man. It was fun. And there was this like fat hunter, like that. When you shot him, it like didn't want to have blood
in
the
game.
We're
not fat shaming. Thick. We're going with thick hunters. Thick hunters.
Thick. He was a thick boy. So he, when you shoot him, rather than blood, it was like, it would like censor it. So it was like white oozing out of him. So we always thought it was mayonnaise. But that was a joke with me and my brothers for a while. But I really didn't become hooked into video games until... I mean, I had the Xbox 360 and I really just played it to play with my friends. I wasn't that good. And then my buddy told me about DayZ. And when he was telling me about it, the game seemed so different than anything I've ever played before. And I was addicted. I hadn't even played it. I didn't even have a PC. And I was addicted to watching Anthony Kong fan on YouTube. And watching streamers play it, watching the Survivor games on Twitch, and I was hooked, man. And I got a gaming laptop for Christmas and played DayZ with the lowest settings possible, and it ran luckily. And I put like 1,000 hours in that before, you know, I started working and saving some money for real. Because I started working when I was like 14, actually getting paid. My dad never paid us anything for working
wait,
for
wait.
him. So
is that why your nickname is DayZGG?
Yeah, and so the reason for that,
that's where it's, was that your first ever nickname and you never changed it?
No, my first one was Merc Lovin, like from the movie, but everyone calls me Merc. So that was the first one, and I rolled with that for a while. When I was told about DayZ, and I went home and looked it up. I typed in DAISY mod for Arma, and I couldn't find anything. And so I was telling my buddy, like, dude, I can't find it. And so he comes over and types it in for me. Like, he's like, here, dude, shit. So I'm laughing. I'm like, dude, I was spelling it wrong the whole time. And it's just DAYZ, right? And once I was playing it and I was like, man, I want to get, you know, clips of us killing these people. So I was like, I'm going to start streaming. And I started as Daisy Optics, but D-A-I-S-Y. So like the flower. But it like I'm such a like a headstrong, like straight up person that it just seemed a little feminine for who I am and what I represent that I was like, nah, I'm just gonna change the way I spell it. And that's how I got D-A-Z-E-Y.
But what would have been nowadays would have been the ultimate Smurf
account. Hey, Daisy, how you doing, girl?
Would have been the ultimate Smurf account nowadays. I'm just saying.
Yeah, for real. Daisy. It would have been. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, look, Daisy's in my chat. How you doing, girl?
Doing great.
Yeah, but from now on, that's what I'm going with when I see you, man.
That's okay, man. Just as long as I got a beer in my hand, I'm chilling, man. 100%. But you guys are right. When you're talking about it, I speak my mind, and I really don't care what anyone thinks. But I'm also very open-minded too. So if I don't really know the answer to it, I'll say my opinion. I'll be like, my opinion on this is this, but I'm very ignorant, like on the topic. And then I can hear someone else's opinion, but then I'll go look it up if I care that much, or if it matters that much, right? Then I'll go look it up and I'll look into it for a few hours before I decide to agree with them or come up with a new opinion. And I think that's made me very smart, but very relatable too. And my dad's always told me growing up, the less you lie, the less you have to remember. And that stuck with me when I was young. Cause I remember being little, telling little tattletales, and then somebody be like, hey, didn't you say this? And you're like, no. And they're like, yeah, you did. And then you remember, and then you look like an idiot. So, when I was young, it all just kind of clicked with me. And I would tell it how it is, tell people straight up. And even if it's hard to hear, it's better to hear it now than later. So, kind of the life I grew up, and that's how I am now. As far as gaming, man, I moved out of Fallon after I graduated, was working in Reno. I was in a relationship with a girl since sophomore year. Stuff got busy. All right, so we break up. We were both working at an RC Willie. I was building furniture. She worked at like a front cash register. And the day she's telling me like, hey, I want to get an apartment together, just me and you. I love you, whatever. I was okay, starting work, talk to you later. And on my break, I notice I'm blocked on all of her stuff. And kind of confusing, but I'm scrolling on Twitter and I see a buddy of mine posted a picture with her, like with hard eyes, like my shotgun rider, right? And I'm like, yo, what's going on? So I message her on Facebook. I'm like, what's happening? She's like, leave me alone, yelling at me, right? So I lose it. So I message his ex-girlfriend. I drive out to Sacramento that night, which is a 2-4 hour drive or something like that from Reno. I get out there, can't find the house for a while. It's dark. I can't see anything. Then I finally see it. And I jump this fence, land neck deep in these like bushes, piss me off. So I go over to the house, have to walk down this like mile road to come down the private driveway. And then nothing even happens. So now I'm like just like losing it. So I go back to my car in the morning. I'm standing over the bushes I fell in the night before. I have to jump toward the fence to try and hop over it. The fence breaks. I fall back into the bushes. So I kick down another board from the fence and stick them back up, jump in my car, start driving home. And as I'm driving home, I don't know. I didn't eat anything, so I don't know what was wrong, but I trusted a fart and I kind of shit myself a little bit, right? So now I am pissed and there's no stop to Reno. So I'm just like, dude, I got to get home as fast as I can. And I'm in Reno, I'm probably 10 miles from home, and I'm in stop and go traffic. And a car in front of me slams on its brakes. And I have had like a knee issue for a long time. And when I'm in a little, I was in a little 2015 Toyota Corolla, and I'm a pretty big dude, so I didn't fit very well. And when my knee's in one position for too long, it starts to ache. And while I'm like cruising through stop and go, I'm trying to stretch my knee out, so I have it at my chest. And when he slams on his brakes, I go to slam on mine, and I accidentally hit the throttle. So I wreck right into the back of him and total my car. He had a hitch, so it ruined my car. His car was completely fine. He gave a police statement. I gave mine. We exchanged information. And he's like, I'm good. I'm going home. I was like, cool, man. I went home, and my roommate at the time had an extra car. So he's like, here, drive my Mazda to work. I was like, awesome. Thanks, dude. Drive that to work the next day. Blew a piston through his engine block. Totaled his car. My dad brought my old Ford F-150 from high school up for me. And I was at work that day. My buddy came to pick me up. We're driving home. A car cuts us off and pulls over and is like giving us the bird. And I'm in a bad mood, as you can tell. I jump out of the car because I'm ready to just fucking scrap, ready to throw hands. My phone falls out of my pocket and I don't realize. So we get home. And I go back to check where I got out of the car, and my phone was ran over a bunch of times. So I have to order a new phone. I have to take my truck to work the next day without a phone. I take it to work, and I run out of gas. So when I'm at work, I'm out of gas, and I'm always the one that locks up. So I'm by myself at work, no phone. So I walk out to the gas station to get a gas can and some gas. They weren't far down the road, but they said they didn't have a gas can for me. And I'm dumb. I could have just got a gallon jug and did it, but I walked a mile and a half to a Walmart to get a gallon jug to walk, you know, a mile and a half back to fill it up, to walk to my truck to fill it up, just to get it to the gas station. So the next day, I have my new phone. My truck's fine. I go to work the next day. Lock up, dead battery. I have to call my buddy to come jump me. He jumps me, gets me back home. Next day at work, I'm driving home and I'm hearing like a whizzing sound in my truck. And I'm not sure what it is. I pull up to a light, I have my window down, looking outside my truck. And I see every time I run over a certain part of my tire, a hole is opening up and letting out air in my tire. So I'm like, man, I'm like 2 miles from home. Let me just get home first. And as I'm like pulling into my apartment complex, my tire blows and I'm driving on rim to get it into the garage. And this had messed me up. I was like, almost had like a PTSD from it. I was very paranoid. I was always looking at, everything that I would drink or eat. I was always double checking, if I set anything down, I always set it in the center of tables and moved away from it slowly because I didn't want to knock anything over. I just was double checking myself everywhere. And if I started feeling weird, it didn't feel like me. I'm a very like nonchalant, don't pay a lot of attention to what's around me. I'm a big dude. And if I run into something, I'm usually taking it down. Like nothing, I'm not really ever going to get hurt myself. So I'm just kind of, you know, meandering, but this was weird. And, so I went to the recruiter's office to talk about joining the Marines originally. And I told my job that I was thinking about joining, the military. So they hired a new guy to replace me. And so I'm training the guy that's supposed to replace me. But then I was like, I don't know if I'm going to join. I wasn't sure. But my work had already hired the new guy. So they're like, well, we already hired someone new. We got to let you go. And so I went back to the recruiter's office and I told the Air Force, or I went into the Marine office. Marines weren't there. Air Force guy had me sit in his office. And he just started talking to me. And I was like, all right, let's do it, dude. I was like, get me out fast, like as fast as you can. And I talked to him in December, early December 2016. And I was in basic training January 3rd, of 2017.
Yeah, that's cooking. You went open, didn't you?
No. I originally my deployment date was March, but somebody backed out from leaving. And so he's like, hey, I got this new job. Command and control, battle management operations. You can take it and you leave tomorrow. And I was like, yeah, let's go. And so I bounced on it, jumped on it. And
one of the lucky ones, man. Damn.
Yeah. Oh, well, kind of. So here's where shit gets messy again. One thing, though, that came out of all of that, the whole time I was still very positive. Like I was like, man, all of this stuff is happening to me. And I'm like, there has to be like some kind of good karma that's going to come out of this. Like I have to have like a positive end to this. Like I'm going to win the lottery or something. Like, so that's what I was looking forward to subconsciously. Like I wasn't even, but I go into the Air Force and I was a very judgmental person. And I don't hate people for judging people. Cause honestly, I think we need to judge. We need to judge people by, cause it keeps us alive. And that's the whole point of being a judgmental person. If you look at somebody who you obviously know is, you know, a criminal, right? You're not going to go hang out with him casually because if you know he's actively doing things, because that makes you an accomplice and it can make you an accomplice in a situation, wrong place, wrong time. Judging people can keep you alive. It can make you successful because you want to surround yourself with like-minded people. And if you're surrounding yourself with kids that don't do anything, like they just sit on their ass, they just smoke weed and fucking, you know, do nothing all day. Like you don't want to be with those people. You want to be with the dudes who smoke weed and are building something, right? Or you want to be with the dudes that are drinking and creating an app or something. Like people who want success as bad as you. If you surround yourself with them, you will want it just as bad. And when I was in the Air Force, it kind of spun me a little bit because I'm seeing all these kids with their hair and the way they're dressed the first week. And I'm picking and choosing. These are the kind of kids I can tell by the way they talk, the way they walk, that this is going to be like my kind of crowd. And once we all had our heads buzzed and we're all wearing camo, like I didn't know who was who anymore. And so it kind of flipped me around. And I'm like, and I'm talking to kids that I think I wouldn't have talked to prior and getting to know them, and they're cool kids and creating friendships. And it got to a point where I'm like, okay, I don't care who anybody is. I think we still need to judge to keep ourselves safe, but I can also listen to people. I will listen to someone and hear them out before I decide I'm going to completely cut someone off. Right. I'd go to Keesler, Mississippi for my first tech school. I pass that. Then I get a shred for my job, which was the CRC. And so I had immediate follow-on training at Luke Air Force Base. So I'm at Luke Air Force Base and I do not pass my final tech school exam. And this was prior to, I mean, I was playing H1Z1, but I wasn't really streaming it hard. Like I wasn't providing the content that I wanted to provide. I was just playing to have clips with my friends. And I didn't pass the tech school, and that upset me pretty bad. I missed it by one question, and now I'm stuck in Arizona for when I was supposed to be stationed in Utah with my wife, doing my job, making rank, making friends, you know, and now I'm all the kids that I met at Luke are leaving, you know, so it was pretty depressing. And at Luke, things got really bad because I was there not as a student anymore, but as just a AFI, awaiting further information. And because of that, and because of our job and what we did, there had to be a lot of officers. So we had 32 officers at our squadron. So being AFI, I was basically cleanup boy and you know, project dude. Like I was big, I was strong, I was smart, And so someone can tell me to go do something, I'll go do it, right? But then it was a lot of confliction there. So I would do something, one officer would say, and then another officer would be like, why are you doing that, right? And so a lot of my leadership had a really bad issue of communication. And any time that they failed to communicate something to me, I would get the blame for not reaching out. But like, I don't know what I don't know. And so it was super hard too, because I really, like, I just want to take ownership for everything that's, you know, that I can't practice extreme ownership. And sometimes when someone tells me, you know, be here at 8 o'clock, and I'm like, okay. And they change the time to 7 o'clock and nobody tells me. And then I show up and I'm an hour late and they ask me why. Well, because you told me 8 o'clock. Well, we changed it to 7. I didn't know that. Well, you should have reached out. So it was like, I got into this spin where I felt like I was getting paperwork for very tedious things constantly that I had to try and find an escape. So I asked if I could get moved to an HVAC squadron in my squadron that just works on AC units, because I worked HVAC. So I got moved there and I got a break from it. 6 months, no issues. Like, nobody was like coming after me. Everything was great. And I was really streaming H1. My dorms were dry dorms. I wasn't allowed to drink in them, but I'm 21 and I didn't have a roommate, so I would drink in them. But I feel like that was
shame
the best
on you.
Time.
Shame on you.
I know.
I'm joking.
Dude. That was the best time.
He sponsored Belgium, you know, probably half of the beers were from Belgium.
Yeah, bro. I drank so many beers that it made me fat, but I was so depressed and in this setting that even though that was my best content and that was like the turning point of my stream career. That's when I really started to get to know names like Ninja, Cloaksy, Tfue, all these big guys playing H1Z1, because one, I was pretty good at it, but I was also the dude that would just get really fucked up like Lyndon and play H1. And sometimes I would be trashed and still playing really good. And people thought it was hilarious. And I'd be dancing. I'd put a beer box on my head with some eye holes cut out and playing with it on my head. And I think what helped me a lot too, of course, was Tauntfest, being a guest on Tauntfest. And I got so lucky that I was the first person with the whole white TG set. And so everyone's like, the new colorway of the Twin Galaxy set is out, and I'm the first person with it. And everyone's kind of like, it changed my whole world. Now I'm close friends with people like KP5 and Pineapples and Hunter Thieves Cease and Morgazi.
I've never
like,
heard of these guys. Who are they?
No.
No, I'm joking.
We had
Piney on one of our previous episodes. If you guys haven't listened to it, go and listen to it after you finish this one. Just saying. And KP5 and, also, by the way.
Yeah. And I will say, I think Pineapples is like water, man. Piney, you put him in any game and he will mold to that game and create new inventive ways of being good at that game. Like, he will do something people don't do usually and change the game. Like, he is very adaptable in every situation, and he's, man,
that cool. Reminds me of another guy. Do you remember the Invitational in, I think it was 2017 or was it 2016, where the first one where the doc got popular also, where you had this guy called Manpons, and he was the guy with the explosive arrows in the Invitational, killing everybody, you know? I was like, what the fuck is this dude doing, you know?
I remember Manpons.
Yeah, and I talked to him afterwards, like a year later, no, 2 years later even. I was like, dude, why did you do that? He said, like, I needed to find a way to, you know, to be different than the rest, you know?
Yeah,
he did.
100%.
He did. He destroyed people with those explosive arrows. That was so nice, man.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you say, Piney always finds ways to be different also. That's really a good quality, you know?
Piney's like my video game Bruce Lee. Like, he's just so adaptable, and it's and
yeah, exactly. Don't be glass.
We call this episode Piney the Jedi.
Yeah, Bruce Lee said, "Don't be the glass, be the water."
Yep. Water will take the form of the glass. It'll take the form of everything. And then water eats at rock, dude. Like, are you kidding me? Look at the Grand Canyon. Water did that, dude. Like, water's so powerful. And to me, it's like, how many ups and downs you have in streaming. And Piney has been able to do it countless times with every game he jumps on. And it's
We just found the loophole. Can we get a lawsuit? Daisy and I are going to get a lawsuit against water, because that would explain our hair loss. Our hair loss is because of
100%,
water,
dude.
And there's going to be a lot of money coming our way.
Water is also life, you know, guys? You know?
Look, 100%. I think what really took my hair was the anti-testosterone, or the test blockers they gave me in the Air Force during basic. I think that the testosterone blockers is what enhanced my hair loss. Cause prior to basic, I had a full head of hair. And then after basic, it was not coming back the same.
Anyways, Saltpeter.
I don't care what they fucking say. You were drinking salt. Cause like when you're in like Air Force basic training, like when I was in, you had to drink every meal. You had to drink these two glasses of fucking water.
Yep, same.
And magically, no dude popped a fucking chubby at all.
No, you didn't. I honestly thought mine was going to decay and fall off, dude.
But I remember, like, my last week there, like 2 days before I graduated, it was like a celebration. So I don't know if they dialed us down off of it or what, because when this dude said, dude, I got – he's running around. He's like, I got a boner. And we're like, what? Yeah, dude, we're so proud for you. You know, it was like a celebration.
Yeah.
A dude popped a fucking chub, dude. But
yeah.
Anyway.
And I had a homie in basic that was beating his meat all the time. Like, he was still doing it, even during basic. And so we're like, okay, what the heck? But after basic, I see my wife for the first time, and I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, like, this is insane. But I digress. Streaming.
You were at the show. What was it
called? Taunt Fest.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so
where
yeah,
you were.
Yeah, Taunt Fest. So, and that was my best point of content, I think. That's my personal best content, but it was also the lowest I've been. It was, people don't, like, aren't going to know that, but that, like, even though my content was at the best, mentally I was at my worst. And I kind of woke up one day and I wanted to change. So now, like, I don't drink as much like I did. And it wasn't that I was like an alcoholic, but I did it to help me with the content, because it made me comfortable behind the camera. But now I'm comfortable behind the camera. I don't really need the alcohol. I just enjoy beer. So things just kind of changed. However, Air Force didn't. I'm told I'm scheduled for reclass. So I'm able to, you know, change jobs and go back to tech school. And I'm excited. I put in for client systems, and so I can work on computers. And this takes a year for me to get anything, like a word back. And I get moved out after 6 months. I get moved out of HVAC, and I'm back to the same thing. Just constant, like, tedious paperwork here and there for things that it's just poor communication through my leadership. And not only that, but when I'm typing my memorandums, which are like the reports back, like, after you get the paperwork, you're like, yo, this is what actually happened, and this is why I don't think I, you know, deserve it. However, this part, like, I'm going to take ownership for, you know. I have the person, the leadership that is giving me the paperwork over my shoulder reading it and telling me to change it. And so if you were to look at my paperwork and look at my memorandums seem so sickening, like, and so forced that it's constantly me saying, like, it's my fault, I'm sorry, I won't let it happen again, and I get the paperwork. So this is all kind of piling up, and we get a new first shirt, and the new first shirt comes in, sees my paperwork, calls me in, and I tell him everything. I open up to him. Your first shirt's supposed to be there for you, right? And my commander calls me in. I have a meeting with the commander, and he calls me in. And he says, I don't want you sitting at my squadron, because I got my reclass date December 2018 for September 2019. And he's like, I don't want you in my squadron for a whole nother year doing nothing. And he's like, so I'm going to request to kick you out. And I'm like, dude, I don't want out. And my first shirt's like, oh, you won't get kicked out. You're just going to get moved to a different squadron while you await retraining. I'm like, okay. So he sends the paperwork off, and then I have to get character statements. And I have a character statement from a lieutenant colonel. I have a character statement from all my peers, like telling me, like telling people, don't kick the kid out. Like, he's a good kid. And he's one of the few people who joined for the patriotism and stuff too. Like loves serving and being a part of something bigger. And it was true. Like after basic, my whole world, at first it was to get away, but after basic, I was like, man, this is cool. And I just got kind of screwed. He sent my request to discharge out. I went to the ADC, gave him my paperwork to give to the base commander, and the base commander gets my paperwork, but I get kicked out. And I'm sitting next to the base commander at a Cardinals game, and I talk to him, and I'm like, yeah, I'm Ryan Merkley. He's like, I know that name. I was like, yeah, you just kicked me out of the Air Force. And he's like, no, I haven't kicked anyone out yet. And I'm like, why am I out then? And he's like, I have your character statements on my desk. And I'm like, yeah. And a request to discharge came across and got signed off. He's like, what squadron were you at? I was like, the 607. He's like, well, that's why. He's like, your base commander isn't me. It's the Hill Air Force base commander in Utah. He's like, so your memorandums and all that didn't get it to the Utah base commander. So he never saw it. So I'm sure he thought you just didn't care. And I'm like, dude, these guys finessed me out. And I was so irritated. And I've got I have an honorable discharge, but I'm not where I want to be. I lost my wife after that. And that was a headache. We were trying to keep things together. I sent her back home to be with her mom and friends and go to school while I was figuring out what was going on here. And she was cheating on me. So, but now she's dating a tow truck driver, so I don't really care. But that's my world, man. Yeah.
Damn.
That's my world right now. But things are a bit different now. I have my streams aren't where I want them to be, like content wise. I'm gonna kind of rebrand. I'm gonna keep my name, but I'm gonna change my color scheme and my logo a little bit and fix things up a little bit on it. But change my content. But I have a couple of projects I'm working on that.
To be determined. I can't let him talk about that. Just know that if you guys are following his social media, you guys, when the time drops, you guys will know. But I can't allow him to talk about that as his podcast lawyer. If you guys are following him, so I mean, look, it's like another kind of thing that we bought. Like, I kind of was in kind of the same situation you with in the military. I had a. Because generally you get first sergeants that pretty much run a squadron, especially in the Air Force.
Yep.
But you know, because like I had a first sergeant that was in for 27 years, and I had a major who fucking, you know, and it come down to like little stupid shit. And I was in during when they were in a big separation phase. Like, people were 15 years where, oh, you weren't making rank. We're going to separate you from the Air Force and stuff like that. And me and him just didn't get along. And I asked him flat out. I was like, what's it going to fucking take for you to get me out of your fucking Air Force? So I took two articles, two 15s to get out of the fucking Air Force. I went through some bullshit. And then the last day when I signed that last one and I was officially separated from the Air Force, I pulled out, I fucking took my BD, because we wore BDUs. You guys, what ACUs now? Or you guys
ABUs. 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 Yeah, but now we have OCPs.
So we had BDUs, and I literally took and I ripped my fucking BDU because I was out. I go, you know, Chief, am I in the Air Force anymore? He's like, no longer. You're not in my Air Force. I grabbed it and like fucking Hulkamania'd that motherfucker. Like some of the buttons hit him in the fucking head, and I dropped it on his desk. I pulled out a pair of scissors from my fucking BDU pants, and I cut my fucking my pants into fucking shorts, took off my boots, fucking walked out of there, and I said, you wanted it, you fucking got it. And he was, but I mean, I got separated for the stupidest thing, but I was done because I was, you know, like you were saying, I was stationed at Fort Meade, Maryland. That was 120% overmanned. So I'm 121% trying to get the fuck out of Fort Meade, you know? Yeah. And like, so I did what I was like, I'm done. And I, you know, I regret it, you know, but I was, you know, at that time, you know, you're just like, when you're that miserable, there's nothing you could do. And I, you know, I was married and had two kids and karma came back fucking a week later. He gets separated for child pornography on a government computer.
Oh, wow.
But you know what they gave him? They gave him Article 32, let a dude retire. Kept everything.
Oh my God.
I was like, this motherfucker.
Yeah,
so I feel your pain, man, because in the military, sometimes, man, you will get lost in the fucking loop, and no one doesn't give a shit about you, man. And I was so close to being out of that squadron into civil engineering. I had two majors, a full work colonel, and two senior master sergeants in the Air Force, and a couple tech sergeants approved my transfer, but a fucking chief master sergeant with 27 years in shot it down.
You know,
so I feel you on that, brother, man. Yeah, but you know what?
We're very lucky that, you know, the military has a lot of really good leaders though too. Like, because the poor leaders would run it into the ground, and it's the good leaders that I look at. Same thing when it comes to police, I focus more on the good cops than the bad cops because there's both of them. You know.
Yeah, everyone wants to look at the negative people, and this by no means. You know what though? I guarantee you, if I could join the Air Force today, even at my age, at my fucking fat ass, I would do it in a fucking moment.
Because
To lose weight, right?
Yeah, just to lose weight. but no, there's something about it though. It's a camaraderie, it's a brotherhood, it's a sisterhood that you know. Like I remember guys from, and I went to basic training in 1991. And I remember guys to this day, certain moments that we did when we were in basic training, and I will carry those on for, you know what I'm saying, forever.
Yeah.
That'll be going through my head, you know, and I'm like, I can't take those away. And, you know, marching all over Lackland Air Force, I think they call it what, joint,
yep.
What is it called now? Joint Base, San Antonio now, JBSA. Yeah. Cause my son went to basic training. So. He followed my footsteps, but like I remember.
Did that change since I went? Because it was still Lackland AFB.
It's called JBSA. It's still Lackland. Okay. They call it Joint Boy San Antonio. But I remember marching all over that fucking place before the ass crack of fucking dawn. And I mean, I got to basic training on Thanksgiving, so I was there for all the holidays. So, but I graduated. On
I was
fucking
there
birthday,
through.
Man.
I was there through my birthday when I turned 21, and. I had some kids like, oh man, that, you know, that sucks. It, you know, you turn 21 and you can't drink a beer. So like joking with them, I was like, shit, you're nuts if you think I didn't go to the BX and buy me a Dos Equis and chug that.
Get wrecked.
And somebody heard it, right? And I was kidding, of course, but somebody heard it and went and told the commander at our squadron at basic, right? And this was during Airman's Week, like last week of basic. And so I get called in and he's like, we have cameras. I hope you know that. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, so you need to be honest with me. Yes, sir. And he's like, did you buy a beer at the BX? And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, no. I was like, I was telling a joke to somebody. I can't believe somebody ratted me out.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Bobby, from the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast.
Hold on a minute. Why is it always you doing the intro? It's my time now. Guys, if you ever wondered what peripherals we're using while we're doing this podcast, while we're gaming, while we're having fun, while we're actually fragging, we're using XtraFi. If you want to check them out, it's XtraFi.com. If you want to check a local store near you or an online store, XtraFi.com/resellers, go and check it out. I gotta say, I've been using the super lightweight mouse for a year now. It's amazing. It improved my aim and it improved my gaming. And I had them send over some stuff to Bobby to test out. What did you think about it, Bobby?
I, I'm going to tell you, I've been using the one specific mouse for like 2 years. And the fine people at Xtrfy sent me this awesome RGB mouse, the M4. And it's super lightweight. It took me like a little bit to get used to it. And I'm never going to use anything else. I mean, it's so simple to change my DPI. The polling on it is simple. And not only that, I got some H1 Ninja Gym in Pajamas inspired headphones in the mail today. And I love them 100%. So, you guys.
Yeah, guys, as you can hear, headsets, keyboards, mice, mouse pads. Accessories.
Let me ask you this.
What
are you? I noticed that you said you wanted a mouse bungee for Christmas this year. Well, guess what? Xtrfy's got you covered 100%.
Oh, awesome, man.
You guys go to Xtrfy.com or Xtrfy.com/resellers. They sell all over the world, Asia, NA, Europe. They got you covered. So, you guys, check it out. Tell them the guys from the Frag and Lagging podcast send them your way. And just keep in mind, if you guys are out there, you better be fragging, because if not,
you're probably not using Xtrfy gear.
And he's like, I'm going to look. I was like, dude, look at the cameras, bro. I was like, it was a joke. And somebody, I guess, overheard and took it serious. And he's like, all right, I believe you. And he's like, you got to be careful what you say to people because people don't care. And I'm like, yeah, well, I noticed how much, you know, pussies there are already.
And the worst part about it, there probably wasn't a fucking camera there. He was just trying to get you to
probably
admit
not.
To it,
yeah, so. He's just trying to, get me to admit. So. And okay. I didn't care. I was just like, Jesus, man. And then I ended up finding out who the kid was, and he was one of my homies in basic. And he's just a fucking...
Then he wasn't a homie.
Yeah, I was like, whatever, dude. I was like, I get what you're trying to do. I was like, but that was ridiculous. He's like, oh, I know, man. And I was like, okay. But, you know, peace out. Probably not going to ever see you again anyway, so...
All right, so wash away the military stuff, your success during Z1, your content, the direction you're going... Your plans for the future. I mean,
sir.
I've asked this and I haven't asked. Before we go any further, you guys and gals, I want to take a second to reach out. And we're going to do this in almost every podcast. If you're in a bad spot mentally, emotionally, fucking, and you're in a dark, dark, shitty fucking place, please don't hesitate to reach out to friends, families, coworkers. It doesn't matter who. Just reach out to somebody. And if you don't feel comfortable talking to a friend, you guys, please call 1-800-273-8255, the National Suicide Prevention line. Please, just there's no. I know it's easy for
or the right one in your country. You can probably find it on Google.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because in Belgium it's another number.
Yeah. But that's just here in the United States. But you know, don't. There's no sense. People do care. People do love you, and they're always going to be there for you because you're taking a long term solution to a short term problem. So just you guys reach out there, and as friends, you need to be there for your friends. So. And
let me chime in on that. Yeah, I want to piggyback off of that.
Go ahead.
So for me, it's hard to say this because they say you have, you know, your handful of friends that you would die for, right? And that's true. I have a handful of friends, right? But I would die for anybody. Like if it meant to save someone else's life, I'd give mine in a heartbeat for someone. And the reason for that, for my mindset being behind that, is because all I want in life is to be somebody's hero or to be in a history book. Like I want a legacy to live on beyond me. And so, yes, I have those friends that I love. You look at, you know, Trent, Oren, you look at American Dad, like. Those dudes I would do anything for. And to break it down, like my love for my homies, my close homies, I'd go to prison for them. And that to me is more serious than dying for them. Dying for somebody's is not, I'll do that in the snap of a finger. Like, because now my legacy will live on beyond me. And that's all I've ever wanted. And I still want that, and I'm not there yet. I'm not making a change yet, but I will make a change to somebody or a lot of people if I can. And
dude, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, because I've always felt like that. And is that if I am able to make a difference in one person's life for like that 5 minutes when they're in their shittiest point in their fucking life, and if
you did for me,
to,
Bobby,
yeah, exactly, I did it for him all the time. But like I said, if I'm in a bad fucking place mentally, and if I pull up TikTok and I see fucking a DayZ video, and just for that fucking 30 seconds, I can fucking laugh and I can forget about what's going on, to me, then you may not know it. You've done your job as a content creator, because there's content creators that are doing it for the wrong reasons. And I don't care what anybody says. They're doing it for the wrong reasons. Whereas people like me, people like you, Daisy, people like fucking like Blaze and like all of our homies, they're doing it to make a difference in someone's life. Yes, it is the internet, and people can live through the internet in a different way, but I look at it as like, if I can make an impact on somebody in a positive way, I can make them realize that you can do anything, then I've done my job. You know, people's success, yeah. if I've impacted them in a good way and their success, and they come back and say, man, if it wasn't for you, I fucking never would have did it. I was like, no, stop saying that. You did it. You just needed someone to fucking give you a push. That's all you need.
Yep.
I didn't teach you anything. You had it in you. I just kicked you in the ass and told you to fucking knuckle up and let's go, you know?
100%, dude. They just had the click in their heads.
The most important about streaming is, first of all, that you, I think, enjoy yourself, right? Then secondary is I'm happy if I even have one person in my chat to talk to and just have fun and have an impact on that person's life. And there's many stories I can tell because I've been streaming for a few years now. But there's one of the stories where I remember, like, afterwards, I talked to the dude after a few months that he was watching me, and he was there every month in my stream. I got a chance to actually really have a conversation with him. And I asked him, like, why were you always there, and why were you donating always, and this and that? And he said, well, he said he was going through a, like, huge-ass divorce, was feeling bad, was actually thinking of, you know, maybe ending his life and shit like that. And he said, I looked forward every day to just see your face, see your energy, and have fun while you were streaming. And he told me, like, I pulled him through his hard months in his life, you know. And just hearing that afterwards made me feel like, okay, I don't need 1,000 viewers. I reached my goal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. Because those aren't names on your screen. Those are real people behind those names.
Yeah,
so
they're all real people to me.
Yeah, so if you guys are creating content and you're looking at numbers, not fucking names, then you're an asshole. So,
yeah.
But I got to know. I got to ask. I got to know. And I'm trying to change the subject to a positive, you know.
Oh, yeah. Let's get to the comedic part now.
Because I think we could go on forever talking like this.
Mm-hmm.
And some people need to hear it because it's kind of lost in thought and all that stuff. Yeah. Where did the skull, like, I still remember to this day the video where you're in the barbershop, you're getting your hair did up, and you fucking come out, you fucking rip a fucking brewski. And then the skull that's fucking born. I gotta fucking know, because then that leads on to you actually were on fucking national fucking television.
Yeah, it was on Rob Dyrdek's Rob Dyrdek's Ridiculousness.
We're gonna call it Redonkulousness, man.
Redonkulous.
Tell the story of how that, what inspired that, the skull.
Well, I'm losing the hair on the top of my head, so I was thinning pretty bad. And I was growing my hair out because I was sick of having my head buzzed all the time because of the Air Force that I wanted to grow it out. And I've always wanted a mullet, but back home, like, my parents wouldn't allow it. So finally, I'm a grown man. I can do what I want. So I wanted a mullet, but I'm like, dude, I do not have the hair on the top of my head to make it look good. And this was post-divorce, and talking to my buddies about it, and I'm like, dude, what if we do a mullet, but no hair on the top of my head? Like, we buzz that too. And my homies are laughing, and they're like, why would you do that? I was like, dude, girls dye their hair and stuff all the time after, you know, like, breakups and stuff. I was like, I want to know what it's about. And so we roll out to my buddy's house, like, right, it was in the same complex as mine. So we literally walked across, you know, some grass. go over to my buddy's house. Another dude from the Air Force I met cuts hair. And so he chops me up and gives me this haircut, gives me speed, like the speed stripes on the side. And we're drinking, hanging out, and they're all just laughing and stuff. And I get a little tipsy, and I just start talking about how hard the skullet goes, and how gangster it is, as I said in the video. But and it was like a 4 minute long video of me just ranting. And one part of the video that I put, it was about 30 seconds to a minute. I put on TikTok and it blew up. And it had 4 million views and like 300,000 likes. And post ban on TikTok, a guy reaches out to me on Instagram and says, "Hey, is this your video?" And I go, "Yeah." And he's like, "I found it on YouTube. I was trying to find you. Couldn't find your TikTok anymore. Do you still have the original?" It's like, "Yeah, yeah, I still got it." He's like, "Can you send that to me? We would like to put it on an episode of Ridiculousness with Rob Dyrdek." And I'm like, "Yeah, I can do that, man." And so that was super cool. And I waited for months for it to, because it had been on all over like a bunch of meme pages on Instagram for a while. But I waited for a long time for it to air. And then one day my homie was watching the show and that new episode and recorded it like the Snapchat and sent it to me and was like, "Dude, you're on TV, bro." And I'm like, "Wait, what?" I had no idea. And then $20 just hits my PayPal, or $200, sorry, hits my PayPal. And from Ridiculousness, like, you know, television, whatever. So I'm like, "Dude, what?" So I'm freaking out and I have to try and find the video, because I have somebody I kind of knew in high school post a portion of the clip of him just recording his TV on Twitter, and it's blowing up on Twitter. And I'm like, "Dog, like, that's my video. His tweet is blowing up and it's not even a good quality video.
Let's go."
It's not even a quality video. So I'm like, "Shit." So I find the episode, I had to pay for it. I screen recorded it and then I posted it, and it did okay. It did okay on Twitter, but then I recorded the haircut video in the barbershop. Now this video is perfect from beginning to end. This video was meant to happen. It was meant to happen from beginning to end. You can tell when I get up and I dap my barber up and I pass him, you know, I think I gave him $100, right? I dap him up, give him the money, because he with a straight blade shaved the Louis Vuitton symbol in the side of my head, right?
That was the best part about it.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
and it was, it looks so good, bro. And I stood up and the music playing, right? Like, just starts playing right when I get up, right? And as I'm walking out, it's playing. My buddy's backing up, recording, makes it. Nobody gets in the way. We get right out the video. My homie's outside, and I had to direct this while I'm getting the haircut, because these guys didn't have any roles, any idea what to do until they got there. So, like, I told my homie, like, "Bring your phone, bring a speaker, a Bluetooth speaker." And I was like, "Pair it up outside." And I was like, "And bring a beer," right? And so we walk outside, and I told him, like, I was texting him while I was getting the haircut, told him, "Find, like, bald eagle sounds and play that when I start walking out." And he's like, "Okay." And I was like, "And then when I get outside and I start looking up in the air, you're going to throw the beer up so it comes down from the air and I'm going to catch it." All right. He's like, "Okay." And I'm just texting him this. So we walk out and perfectly, and I shotgun the beer. And as I'm dumping, like, the foam that I usually have at the end of the beer, cause I always dump the foam in my mullet. I dump it into my mullet and then I put my hat back on, and I should have said something else, but I walk toward the camera and I say, "Gang, gang," which is a reference to Theo Vaughn, who has a mullet. And a comedian, stand-up comedian. But the video's choreography was so perfect and it was so terribly set up. And it just felt like it had to happen. Like, once we watched it back, I'm like, dude, how did that come out so perfect? And even them, like, they were in awe. But that video did not take off. It didn't take off on TikTok at all. And I have no idea how, because I feel like that should have been on Barstool. That should have been on Ridiculousness again. It should have been everywhere, and it just did not. So maybe one day, once I keep growing my socials and stuff, maybe one day that someone will find that video again, and it will
be like, oh, I remember this dude from the original Ridiculousness. Because that's why I wear the hat.
Yep, that's why I wear the hat.
Honestly, the most unexpected clips or videos get blown up. Like, some, uh-huh. My girlfriend does a little bit of TikTok for fun, and her mm-hmm. biggest clip is her videoing a horse at an amusement park for 3 seconds, and it's got, I think, around 1,000 likes and 40k views. A horse for 3 seconds filmed.
Yeah, see,
nothing happened special, you know. The horse had like a little heart shaved out of the nose, you know, from the hair. That was it.
I don't understand the algorithm of TikTok, because I plan out all these TikToks and shit.
Yeah.
And like, mine I'll get like 100 like or 100 views, and I'm like, all right, cool. I'm a world star. And then I posted a video on the 4th of July.
I'm a world star. I'm going to go lay on the floor. I laugh.
No, like, literally, like, on the 4th of July, we're driving down South Florida back to near our hometown. And if anybody knows who Smoking the Bandit is, Jerry Lewis.
100%.
Or Jerry Reed, I'm sorry, the Eastbound and Down, Loaded Up and Trucking. We're driving, mm-hmm. and I filmed that, and people are like, I don't understand this. And I look, and it's got like 1,500 views and like 40-something. Yep. I'm like, it's like things that don't make sense get action.
So I can actually explain the algorithm to you.
Okay, you
want.
Guys, take notes. Dr. Daisy is going to give a class.
Got my notepad ready.
So it's almost like a checkpoint system, right? So when you post a video, it'll go on the For You page immediately. No matter what, it always goes on the For You page. Now, it'll show it to only 40, 50 people to start. If you get 10 views, full, like, they watch your whole clip, and 5 likes, it will repost to the For You page. And now you're reaching 150 to 250 people. If it gets 50 views and 30 likes, it reposts again. If it gets 300 views and 400 likes, or 300 views and, you know, like 40 likes or 60 likes or whatever, so on and so forth, it just reaches these checkpoint systems and it reposts. And I know this because when my TikTok was blowing up, my original TikTok, I would post a video and it wouldn't be doing very good to start. And I always post between 9 and 10 a.m. or p.m. That's usually the times when people are most on their phones on TikTok, right? So I would record videos, and I'd put it in my drafts, and I'd wait until the time, that designated time, and then I'd post my videos. And I would notice my views would start slow, like, and then it would reach a point, and then it would blow up for a second, and then it would stop, and then blow up for a second, and then stop, and then blow up for another, like, and I started realizing it reposts. And I've even liked a video before and been on the For You page days later and seen the same video with way more likes. And I've already liked it. So that's the algorithm they would use for it. And it's genius for content creators. It's literally the perfect outlet. If you hate TikTok because of what it was, musically or whatever, and you're roasting it because there's little kids dancing, it also is engineered to cater toward your likes. So when you're scrolling, you're seeing everything. So you may just download it and you're seeing kids doing, you know, vocal, you know, recordings or whatever, or girls dancing. The videos you like and scroll and like and scroll, if you like car videos, you're going to just start seeing a bunch of car videos until you roll about 10 times. And then you're going to start seeing random stuff again. Or you could reload it and you're going to see, you know, 10 new videos about cars. And then below that, you're going to start seeing some more random videos. And this allows you to still reach other platforms, because I get gaming content because of pineapples, liking pineapples videos and For Reals videos, which is also another streamer that does, you know, Warzone clips and stuff. So For Real and pineapples allow me to see other gaming videos. And then I have comedy skits. So then we have like the comedians, the dude that did the White Claw videos, right? And then American Dad and stuff. So now I see comedy videos. And then I love beautiful women. So I see beautiful women dance a lot because I like seeing, you know, some ass shaking on a camera, all right?
I never
that's
see
what my that's what my stuff is catered toward. So my For You page is a lot of that. And so that's how you kind of got to gear yourself. And using the hashtags geared toward what kind of content you're trying to provide will help you reach those audiences. But that's how TikTok works.
Wow. Okay. All right. Let's try this again. Mulligan.
Yeah.
Is I guess I really I didn't take things a lot serious. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
I was 100%. Like, oh, I figure I could just do fucking this. I could post a video and it fucking go fucking viral, or I can fucking put a YouTube video up and it's going to go batshit fucking crazy. And I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to, you know, I think that's what the issue that people run into is that they experience that and people give up. So, and we've all been there. I've been there several fucking times. It's easy to fucking just delete and walk away, but it's so much more rewarding when you find what works for you. Like, this podcast is something I thoroughly enjoy. I really do.
Yeah, it's great.
And it allows
I don't
me
at all. That's why I'm here every day doing this.
I'm going to mute you. I'm going to mute you. I'm just joking.
I love you.
Is that it allows me to, you know, content creation is such a broad spectrum. Yeah, you could be TikTok famous. You could be Instagram famous, Instagram model. You could be a YouTube guy. You could be an awesome Twitch streamer. You could be like The Doc. You could be like Shroud. You could be like this. But you know what, though? Everyone, and the homie Numbskull says it. He goes, everyone wants to be the next Shroud. Everyone wants to be the next Dr. Disrespect. And I agree with what he said. I don't want to be the next Doc. I don't want to be the next. I want to be the first me. And to me, like, this is something that works for me, you know? And
who is me?
Well,
do I know me?
Me is you.
Best kept fucking
what?
Secret.
No, that's me. That's
exactly.
You.
It's you. But you know what's that? It's like,
oh, I just want to
content creation
for
is such a diverse form, but in a sense, you have to do. Unfortunately, now you have to do everything. That it's like a full circle thing. You have to do
100%.
You know, like Instagram.
I do feel like a lot of Twitch is a lot of luck. There is a lot of luck behind Twitch
lightning in a bottle. I'm 100%.
Twitch ain't very good at, it's not like TikTok. It doesn't allow the smaller people. It doesn't really, you know, promote smaller streamers very well. So, it drops them to the bottom of the view pages, So.
And I've touched on this because I've seen it a lot, and me and Blaze have noticed a lot too. It's everyone is fucking view botting now on fucking Twitch. I don't give a fuck what you say you're doing.
There's a lot.
You are a fucking asshole. Dude, don't do it. Save your Twitch
payout
for something else.
Make it, I guess, man.
Save your Twitch payout for something else. Invest in yourself. Don't invest in fucking. Because guess what? They're pretty smart. They're pretty smart at Twitch. They're gonna realize, well, this is really odd. You fucking streamed in front of one person for fucking 5 years, and then all of a sudden, now you're streaming to 7,000 fucking people. Pretty obvious.
Yeah, cheating is one thing that would piss me off. In anything, right? In games, in, you know, view count, in, you know, anything, just cutting corners, that pisses me off. And
the bumps, the knockdowns, the kicking the balls, yeah, the slapping the fuck, those are what make you a better content creator.
They make the highs feel a lot better.
Yeah.
They make the rewards feel a lot better.
Of course.
And no, dude, I feel that. And for me, if I run into somebody, cause I get, you know, I get bickering too, and I get pissed off too. And I get people that I had a couple of kids get me banned on Twitch one time. And if I ever seen those kids in person, I would rock their socks right off, dude. I would blast those kids until they cannot walk anymore. And I'm a hard-headed piece of shit. And I do believe, I think fighting solves answers. I've fought my whole life fighting kids, like, man. And it made best friends. Like, I'm best friends with kids I got in fist fights with, and I would just beat the bricks off these kids, and then they would be like, wow, okay, I don't want to mess with this kid anymore. It's like, you're right, you're in the bottom of my totem pole. But now here's the thing, because I'm not a piece of shit, I'm not gonna ever talk down on you. You yeah, wore like- what had coming to you, and now we're good. There's
let's
no
go
issues.
Have a beer. We're going to have a beer yep. right now.
That's you're how it goes.
Is that why you punched me at TwitchCon?
Probably.
You're probably fucking last time we saw, I think we were actually partying. Me, you, and...
Yeah, we were at one of the bars downtown, right?
It was Aladdin, no? It was at that party with where you could go upstairs also, and we were at the upstairs bar, the VIP bar.
Oh, the VIP party, the noise party.
Yeah, the noise yep. party. That was me, yep. you, and Aladdin, right?
Aladdin,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah
no,
because
and,
I remember you sent him the picture for happy birthday a while back, and I yep. saw that picture, and I was like, that was there, I think. I was there.
Yeah. I will say this. I'm a master of finesse. Anywhere I want to be, I usually can get there. I can get in there. Like the 100 Thieves party they had with Little Dicky and Tostinos at TwitchCon last year. I wasn't invited, but I was in there. So, and here's what you have to think, too. A lot of events and places you go to, a lot of them are volunteers. They don't really know what's going on. So if you act like you own it, like you're there and you're supposed to be there, they're not really going to like question you. Like they're, you know, they're not in their element.
Oh man, I took so many people with me
in your element.
That shouldn't
be.
Dude,
I just finesse my way into places. And that party we were at, I got pineapples, flame hopper, and like three of my homies, those VIP wristbands. And yeah, so we were drinking free that whole night. Yeah. Like we should not have had VIP wristbands. Yeah. I just went up. I was like, hey, I need five more. And they're like, oh, okay. And they just like gave me five. And then backstage TwitchCon 2016.
That was so
2016.
Funny.
I was trying to get into the partner lounge. I had 200 followers on Twitch. And I noticed Ninja was there, Linden FPS, and Trick2G were sitting down at a couch, just chilling, doing meet and greets, right? And I noticed they didn't have their badges around their neck like I was, like a nerd. They didn't have them showing at all. So I put mine in my pocket and I tried walking into the partner lounge. And a guy stops me, right? And I'm like, crap. And I was like, yeah, I signed it away to a fan. I don't have one. They said they're not going to get me one until Sunday. And he's like, sorry, man, unless you have a badge, I can't let you in. I'm like, crap. So I went and talked to one of the Bud Light girls. And I wasn't 21. I was underage, but I had a fake ID. So I'm in the beer area. And I'm talking to one of the Bud Light girls doing the little surveys. And she's like, how's your day? I was like, ah, shitty. I can't get back into the partner lounge. I signed my badge to a fan. I can't get back in there. She's like, oh, I got you. So she walks me over and is like, oh, he's supposed to be in here. So they let me in. And I sit down. I have two beers with Ninja and Lyndon. And Lyndon's drunk as all hell. And he's looking at me. And he's like, no. And like points at me. And I'm like, crap, he knows, right? And he's like, you can't sit here unless you chug. So I put both the beer bottles to my mouth and I just shotgun, you know, I just pound both of them right there. And they're like, chug, chug, chug. And Bud Light's like recording for their promo video. And And we're all laughing. And then people are coming up to meet and greet with Ninja and, you know, and everyone at the table, Trick2G, and they're taking pictures with me, and I'm nobody, right? And my buddies call me and they're like, bro, you won't believe who we're hanging out with. I was like, who's that? And they're like, Zoe Berger. Like, we're getting, you know, sandwiches with her. And I'm like, all right, hold on. And I set my phone down and I take a picture with a dude and I sign his little like Twitch fan thing. And they walk away and I answer the phone again. They're like, you're fucking with me, right? And I was like, no, dude, I'm in the partner lounge. And they're like, you're fucking kidding me. So they come back over and I get them in and I start talking to AJ Green, the wide receiver, previous wide receiver for Green Bay. And talking to him for a while, and he's like, you gonna be here tomorrow? I was like, I don't know. I was like, I signed my badge away to a fan. I don't know if I can get in here tomorrow. He's like, oh, I'll get you in. I was like, cool. So the next day, he gets me back in. We're hanging out, and then we had to go backstage for the Bud Light All-Star show, or they did, right? So we're walking over to the Bud Light All-Star show, and I have Oren and Trent in hand behind me, and I'm like, just don't look up, just walk, just follow them. So we walk right backstage, and we're backstage drinking beers with Shaquille O'Neal, Snoop Dogg, Adriana Curry, and then like another actor from some movies, and then Ninja's back there, AJ Green's there, and then some other gamers I didn't really know. And a guy stops me, and he's like, who the hell are you? And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, I was invited here. And he's like, by who? I was like, you. And he's like, nah, bullshit, get out of here. And I'm like, bro, what the hell is this? And a guy pulls me over and he's like, what's going on? I was like, I don't have my badge. I signed it away to a fan and now I can't get anywhere. And he's like, here. And he gives me his Bud Light VIP badge. And so we go sit down, we watch the show, and then we were going over to the concert, which was T-Pain, Darude, and who's the one that owns Rogue? The Rogue... the other dubstep dude, Steve Aoki concert, right?
Yeah.
So we go to get and we just have regular general admission, but we have this VIP badge. So I'm like, dude, let's go to the VIP line with this. So we go to the VIP line. I give the badge to Oren because he's the one who bought the tickets. We get through, they like check our tickets and stuff. And I was like, yeah, we got this badge at the show. We couldn't get VIP earlier. And they're like, oh, okay. So they give us the VIP wristbands. So we go down to the show and then we have free alcohol at the VIP area and get to watch the show, hanging out with, you know, people like Summit 1G. And I remember I seen Dr. Disrespect there before he blew up. He actually was standing behind me when I was getting a beer. And I turned around, I said something to him. I was pretty drunk and he was like, don't talk to me, peasant. And I thought he was so cool after that. I was like, this dude's tight. This dude fucks.
Don't talk to me. Do you know who I'm the two-time.
Yeah, dude. And he hadn't even blown up yet. He was just a dude in an outfit that's 6 foot, you know, eight. Just so tall. And I'm like looking at him. I said something to him. And he's like, you just don't talk to me, peasant. And I'm like, hey, turned
that,
around. I'm like,
216
dude, that was
TwitchCon. He blew up right after that.
Yep. And dude, that was awesome, man. And, just got to meet, like, my buddy Trent was a huge CSGO fan, so he got to meet like his favorite Counter-Strike players and take pictures with them, and we had a blast, man. And I've done this every year. Like, if I need to get into the partner lounge, I can get in. If I need last year at TwitchCon, I was in the loot crate where you get the Twitch merch. I was in there before they even let anybody in, and we were like about to buy stuff like before everyone. But I don't really care about Twitch merch, but I know a couple of them bought stuff before they even let anybody into the loot crate. So I don't know how we do it, but we make it work.
If you believe
every time.
And you
know,
see it in front of you, you can reach it.
Yeah, it's it's ridiculous. And that's the thing. I'm spending a lot of money. Twitch is making a lot of money. And I'm spending a lot of money to go to an event. And you're crazy if you don't think that, or if you think that I'm not going to take up every opportunity I can to hang out with, you know, some of the people that I played video games with, right?
With Blaze, for example, you know?
Yeah, and it's insane to me. And so now, like, now I'm homies with Turner. Like, I'm homies with his brother Jack. Like, and we were up in their penthouse every single day. Like, we were up there one day, and some homies showed up, like rolled up, opened the door, and Jack was like, hey, like, we got to talk to these guys for a second. Like, you guys need to go downstairs. Like, kicked everyone else downstairs until we finished, like, bullshitting and stuff. And then we went back downstairs and brought everyone else back up. And some of these dudes were in, like, 100 Thieves. It was – one of them was FaZe Rug. Like, FaZe Rug seen me in Turner's penthouse, like, just hanging out before him. And I got to hang out, and he got kicked out back downstairs until we could come down and tell him they could come back up. Like, what? And then FaZe Rug, by the way, one of the coolest, most down-to-earth dudes you'd ever meet. Like – one of the dopest dudes. So it was just, it's just insane to me. I don't know how we do it or how I do it, but I just know I'm
right?
Supposed to
you
be
just
there.
Believe it
somehow.
You just believe
yeah,
that you
100%.
Have to beat her. Yeah, I feel
yep.
you.
And I'm supposed
I
to can, be there.
I, there's so many stories I can tell from stuff like that that I went through mm-hmm. on TwitchCon and that I did when I couldn't, you know? And mm-hmm. there's so many, you know, people I hang with, and you know, I got stories where I went out with the doc, you know, me, the doc, and some people from Daybreak.
Yep.
And, you know, there's so many, you know, like, events are the coolest stuff. Like, when you go to an event and you meet all the people that do the same thing as you, that, you know, have the same feelings around gaming and feelings around everything, the ups and the downs, you know, everything. You have, like, real conversations with people. I remember many conversations I had in 2017 with American Dad when I was competing in the Invitational, and he was staying in my room. We had so much fun, you know, like, there's so much stuff that goes on at yeah. these events. And like, it's a few days, but sometimes you feel like you were there for 3 weeks, you know? And
yeah, yep.
And even though you feel like you were there 3 weeks, you feel like you could have been there much longer, or want to be there, or want to stay there forever, you know?
Yeah, 100%, dude.
Anyways, I want to really thank you for, you know, all the stories you told us, for your life story also, and the deep shit you told yeah. us also. I really appreciate that, man.
100%, guys. I'm gonna be real 100%. I will always yeah. be real with everyone. You know, even if it's tough to hear, all right, it's better yeah. than lying, man.
Yeah, tell me you fucking hate me to my face. Don't
yeah.
You know, don't fucking bend me over and call me Susie as I turn around. So, but you guys,
well,
take it,
from now on, I'm calling you Daisy. Hello, Daisy. How you doing, girl? No.
That's all right,
voice,
man. I'm gonna
voice changer to be like.
I'm gonna say what Bobby usually says. Hold on. You will find all Daisy's information in the description, also the one from the podcast, also the one from Bobby, aka Junkat, and also the ones of me. Just click them. If you have a Twitch Prime subscription laying around, go and use it on Daisy.
It's not Twitch Prime anymore.
It's Game Prime.
Prime Gaming.
Yeah. Prime Gaming.
Whatever yeah. Twitch Prime, whatever it's called now. Just make sure you guys are showing some love and support. Daisy, go ahead and shout yourself out real quick. Tell us all your socials and all that kind of good stuff again. And me and Blaze will close it out from there.
Yeah, man, I'm Daisy GG, or Daisy. You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Daisy GG, and then and Instagram, and then TikTok. You can find me Daisy_Twitch.
There you go. Any particular stream schedule you got, or?
No. So my thing right now is just playing with my friends, man. A lot of my content I'm kind of sitting on only because I'm working on some projects pretty heavy, a couple of big projects.
Hashtag Daisy Intel. That, we can't talk about it. That's enough. You guys
that,
just
that
follow,
everyone
follow
should be really excited
I
for.
I can't. Yeah, yeah. They'll be fucking super excited. So.
And once it's out and I have some momentum going, then I'm really going to tackle streaming when people can really ask me some questions about everything going on, and I can have some real fun with my audience. Not only just my friends and stuff too.
You're gonna divulge the fans only for the hair, the skullet fans only, dude. I wonder if that would take off a skullet fans only.
Maybe dude, that would be maybe an OnlyFans skullet. Some like slow mo vids of like my skullet just like flowing or what?
Get some water.
I'm seeing it in front of me.
Dude, it's going to take off.
Anyways.
That'd be awesome, right, dude.
So for me and Joakim, I appreciate you taking the time to come and hang out with us and telling your story. And you guys, once again, whatever platform you listen to this on, make sure you guys are go ahead and you're giving us a follow. Give us a 5-star rating. Make sure you guys are following us on Twitter because we like to announce a lot of cool stuff on there. And we even have our own new Discord now. So from me and Blaze, just remember, you guys are out there gaming. If you ain't fragging,
you're probably lagging.
Mom! 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 Get the camera! I gotta kill! Oh, my God, a kill! Oh, yeah, baby! Oh, mommy, I gotta kill! Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner undying to the gas!